Whatever God has promised gets stamped with the yes of Jesus. In him, this is what we preach and pray. The great Amen. God's yes and our yes together, gloriously evident. God affirms us, making us a sure thing in Christ, putting his yes within us. By his Spirit, he has stamped us with his eternal pledge, a sure beginning of what he is destined to complete. Well, a very warm welcome to everyone to our latest Zoom communion service live here in Burwell on Sunday morning, 19th of July. That's just in case anybody's lost track of the date and time. And a warm welcome also to you if you're joining us later using the recording. So however you're accessing the materials this morning, we pray that God will speak to each one gathered, separated maybe by time and space, but one in his Spirit, one body, one church, together. If you are catching the recorded version and you're new to us, then please do make yourself known by contacting us using the details that will come up at the end of the service. So, what's coming up today? Well, this is a communion service, as I said, so please make sure you've got the bread and wine elements available for later on. So next up, Howard and Anne are going to be bringing us a live update on how they're getting on in these strange and difficult times. We're going to have some scriptures read to us. Chris will be bringing us a great devotional thought. We're going to share communion together. We'll have some songs to help us in our worship. We do invite you, please do sing along with us. As Chris said, we promise that we will be muting you so no one will get embarrassed. So do join in with us. And we'll have some responsive readings and some time for open prayer together. All that in the next hour or so. So let's pray, shall we? We thank you, Father, that all your promises are yes and amen in Jesus. Thank you that we can put our confidence in your faithfulness and rest in you no matter what the circumstances. Thank you for your affirmation and for your eternal pledge that you have made us secure in Christ. Be with us now as we come into your presence once more to remember your great love and sacrifice for us. Amen. Okay, so Howard and Anne, a warm welcome to you. Thank you for being willing to do this live interview. I know it's a bit scary, I'm a bit scared. Tell us a bit about how the last 4 months have been for you, how you made an escape from Spain and what's happened since with you and your family.
Well, I've got the Lord just blessed us from way before all this lockdown came about, because last year we were just talking to friends and they just sold their flat in Spain, and they were saying that they were going to rent from now on, and they gave us, they said, well, there's a good estate agent, and gave us the card. I put it away, didn't think any more about it in the new year. Kept on getting promptings from the Lord that perhaps we should be thinking about selling up. Nobody was talking anything about any virus or anything else, only about Brexit. So we just got prompted and I said, well, okay, let's just put a toe in and test the water to see what it's like, see what would happen. So we contacted this estate agent. She said, well, I don't normally give prices. She said, but I'll come and have a look. She came in the Monday. She said, yeah, I like the flat. She said, I think I can sell it for you. I'll come tomorrow and take photographs. So she came on the Tuesday, she took photographs. On the Wednesday, she put it online. on the following Monday, she phoned us up, I think I've got an offer for you. So it's, when you sell something in Spain, it's never that quick. They haggle about this and everything else and all the red tape. But God just took it out of her hands and it went so fast. I was practically saying, look, Lord, slow up, please. I can't keep up with you. You know, it was one thing every day after another and everything just fitted into place. So some Spanish people bought it and they never buy unless they see the place and haggle about the price. This time they accepted the cost. They didn't have any haggling at all. In fact, they wanted to buy it without having seen it. And like, again, not heard of in Spain. And the estate agent couldn't believe it as well. So do you want to take on a bit from there?
Well, from then on, it became extremely hectic because they wanted us out. And in between, we had to come home for an appointment in Addenbrookes. And we also had a daughter staying. So that fortnight, in a sense, was dead. But when we went back, I think we had about a week to clear out everything and get sorted, which took quite a lot of effort because over 19 years, we'd acquired an awful lot of stuff. But eventually, anyway, we got it sorted and packed and we moved into a hotel.
Wanted us out, so we had to move into a hotel.
And then everything went and we arrived back in England. There were vague things coming out from China about COVID. So we did buy masks to travel home on the plane.
Yeah. And it's funny.
Did you come home?
Sorry?
What day did you get home?
Came home on the 10th of March.
No, I can't.
All right.
I think it was the 10th of March.
Well, all I know is we finished signing all the forms and the red tape the day before we flew. It was that close.
Wow.
When it came to moving out, we had to go into an hotel, so we put all our stuff in boxes and thought, what we do now? And again, the Lord provided so marvellously that flat next door was empty. We had the key. We asked them, they said, yes, you can leave all your stuff in there ready for when the man collects it. So everything was like that. Everything just seemed to fit in and work out. And it never works like that.
Yes, it can.
And even, you know, the estate agent was gobsmacked. She couldn't believe it. So our lockdown really started about a week before they had the lockdown in France.
In Spain,
rather. So, yeah.
We had a car to get rid of.
Yeah.
What do we do?
Well, there were lots of things.
And the Lord provided somebody. We just gave it away to somebody we'd been dealing with over the lockdown. So we arrived back, as you say, ready.
Because
without all our own plans or what we were going to do. We were going to do this, 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 and this. And of course...
Oh, didn't we all? Yes.
Came and put everything on hold.
But having said that, the lockdown to us has been good.
We enjoyed it.
I mean, it's been enjoyable. It may seem funny to say, but we've been able to look at Burwell and the surrounding area in ways we knew they were there, but we hadn't bothered to look, you know. We really appreciated being so many places. It's been fantastic. And there's nothing on the roads.
There wasn't.
I mean, everybody was complaining about the lockdown, and then we were saying, well, bring it on, you know. And all our children.
Here's another question for you then. How have you managed to maintain and develop your relationship with God during this time? Is that a bit of a deeper question?
Well, I think life before was always very, very busy, and we always seemed to be rushing around. But since lockdown, we've obviously had the time to appreciate the simpler things. And the time to spend with the Lord. We've had time to study the Bible more, and we've had time to, me especially, I've had time to develop a richer prayer life, if you like, I've had the time to sit, to listen, and to reflect. I've had time to probably look at myself in ways I've never looked at myself before. And time to realize where I've gone wrong, and time to look at what I need to correct in myself. It's been a great time for development in that sense.
The downside is there's really not very much chance to evangelize, because actually meeting with people, well, not with any strangers anyway.
But we've also kept up, we've had more time, and we've kept up, or we've re-met through Skype and WhatsApp. We've met people that have had quite an influence, Christian people who've had quite an influence on our lives over the years. And that has been really, I think it's been a wonderful thing for us to look back and see where the Lord has used us or pushed us, very often pushed us, with a little bit of rebellion from us. But yeah, overall, yeah, lockdown has been wonderful for us.
Well, it's great to hear some good news about the difficult times that everybody's having. So is there any specific thing you'd like us to pray for you this morning?
Well, obviously for Howard's health, which isn't great, no. We're still waiting for an appointment with the consultant, which is promised in July. So there's that. And also for our middle daughter, who's had a hip replacement cancellation twice.
Right.
And she really, they're sort of in limbo. Because, you know, they can't, She's getting more and more frustrated, I think, with
What's her name, Anne?
Karen.
Karen. Okay, should we just pray now for Howard and for Karen?
Yes, please.
Father, we thank you for Howard and Anne. We thank you for all that they are to us. Thank you for the blessing that they are to us. We do pray especially now for Howard that this appointment that he needs will come soon. Father, we pray that there will be some answers and that there will be some treatment that can help. And Lord, we pray for Karen and for her family. And Lord, you know her. You know her situation. We pray, Father, that you would speak to her, that you would bless her. And we pray, Father, that the operation would come at the right time for her, that they'd be able to look back on this and say, actually, yes, that was the right time. Lord, we thank you that you hold everything in your hands. So we place Howard and Anne and Karen and all the family into your hands and pray your blessing on them. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Howard and Anne. That's been fantastic. So over to Sarah now for our reading.
For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. Ephesians 5:8-20. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God, the Father, for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay, so we're over to Chris now for our devotional
Let's just pray for Chris, shall we? Father, we thank you for Chris. We pray that as he speaks now, that you would speak into our hearts and our minds, that we would hear from your spirit and be refreshed and renewed and challenged too, Lord. For your glory we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lynn. And thank you for those that have taken part so far. Thank you, Sarah, that did that reading at short notice. So we appreciate that. That was great. I want to start with verse 10. The Apostle Paul says in verse 10, find out what pleases the Lord. I just wonder how you feel about that. Do you ever feel that it might be impossible to please God, who is, after all, perfect and all-knowing? And we are, shall we just say, not. So in the light of that, it seems quite a tall order for us to please God. But Hebrews 11 and verse 6 says this, without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. In the rest of Hebrews chapter 11, it goes on to say, that list of people who by faith do great things and they please God. So it is possible to please God by faith. We've learned quite a lot through the Sermon on the Mount about fulfilling the law and the prophets. We thought about the way that Jesus completed the law and the prophets, fulfilled them, and the way that in the light of our faith in Jesus' finished work, we can too. That fulfilling of the law and the prophets pleases God. So when we come to Jesus, we believe in him as our Lord and Saviour. We're clothed in his righteousness. So our relationship with God is restored. And yet, although we're clothed in Jesus' righteousness, we're still urged to find out what pleases God. We have that transition, don't we, that I'm fond of reminding you of when we're transformed from being goats to being sheep. And as sheep, God tries to find out any little thing that we do right to reward us and to bless us for it. Any cup of water, any kindness, any compassion, he spots it and blesses us for it, brings reward for it. So as believers, although we're clothed in the righteousness of Jesus, we're still encouraged to actively seek what pleases God. In the rest of today's reading, Paul outlines some of the ways in which we can find out what pleases God. Have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Make the most of every opportunity. Don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. All of these are examples of ways to find out what pleases the Lord and ways of living lives that reflect the light of the revelation of God, that new relationship that Jesus has made possible. As Paul puts it, to live as children of the light. He describes this as waking up or even rising from the dead. Our old way of life was like we were asleep or dead, unaware of God's plans and purposes or of our part in them. And now we're awake. We previously had no hope of pleasing him. Now we're alive and awake. We have a chance to please God. It's time to wake up and start living for God. Our year text reminds us that we can please God by bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God. We do that as he strengthens us with all power. So finding out what pleases God is an active and ongoing process made possible by that infilling of the Holy Spirit again and again. We're told in Scripture that the Spirit knows the mind of God. So it's that infilling that leads us to fruitful lives of praise and thanksgiving as we grow in the knowledge of God. It struck me that in those two things, bearing fruit in every good work, that's doing. And growing in the knowledge of God, that's being. Quite often we won't be doing something actively, but we'll be learning something from God. So it's both doing and being. Today, you can know that you please God. That's great, isn't it? To know that God is pleased with you, that he gives approval of who you are and how you live. The enemy would have you believe that your heavenly Father is impossible to please. But the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in love. This morning, we're going to be keeping the commandment of Jesus. We're going to share bread and wine in memory of him, declaring again his sacrificial death and his resurrection. Jesus commanded us to do this in remembrance of him. As we do so today, by faith, we please God. Wow! We're able to please God by doing this simple act of remembrance of Jesus. As we continue through the rest of this service, we're going to pick up on some of those points that Paul made about pleasing God in different ways. We're going to start by speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And Sarah's going to start that off with a psalm, Psalm 145. Thanks, Sarah.
Psalm 145, a song of praise by David. I will lift my praise above everything to you, my God and King. I will continually bless your name forever and always. My praise will never cease. I will praise you every day. I will lift up your name forever. The Eternal is great and deserves endless praise. His greatness knows no limit, recognizes no boundary. No one can measure or comprehend his magnificence. One generation after another will celebrate your great works. They will pass on the story of your powerful acts to your children. Your majesty and glorious splendor have captivated me. I will meditate on your wonders, sing songs of your worth. We confess, there is nothing greater than you, God, nothing mightier than your awesome works. I will tell of your greatness as long as I have breath. The news of your rich goodness is no secret. Your people love to recall it and sing songs of joy to celebrate your righteousness. The Eternal is gracious. He shows mercy to his people. For him, anger does not come easily, but faithful love does, and it is rich and abundant. But the Eternal's goodness is not exclusive. It is offered freely to all. His mercy extends to all his creation. All creation will stand in awe of you, O Eternal One. Thanks will pour from the mouths of every one of your creatures. Your holy people will bless you. They will not be silent. They will talk of the grandeur of your kingdom and celebrate the wonder of your power. Until everyone on earth who has ears to hear, knows your valiant acts and the splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom will never end. Your rule will endure forever. You are faithful to your promise, and your acts are marked with grace. The Eternal sustains all who stumble on their way. For those who are broken down, God is near. He raises them up in hope. All eyes have turned toward you, waiting in expectation. When they are hungry, you feed them right on time. The desires of every living thing are met by your open hand. The Eternal is right in all his ways, and he is kind in all his acts. The Eternal stays close to those who call on him, those who pray sincerely. All of you who revere him, God will satisfy your desires. He hears the cries for help and he brings salvation. All of you who love God, he will watch out for you, but total destruction is around the corner for all the wicked. My lips will sing the praise of the Eternal. Let every creature join me and praise the holy name of God forever and always.
So although we gather spread into different places, different homes, this is not a virtual communion. This is a real communion. There's no mediator between us and God, but the man Christ Jesus. We don't need any priest in our homes with us. The point of Jesus giving us this meal of bread and wine was to remember him, to do this in memory of him. We know that the Spirit isn't limited by social distancing, but he is with each of us. He's able to be with each one of us personally, imminently present, wherever we are today. Through time and space, the Spirit is with us. So although we're scattered into our homes, we are united in the body of Christ. There's one way to try and express that. We're going to say a song together. Singing songs on Zoom is not a pleasant experience. So we're going to try to say this together. You will be unmuted. You may have to accept that. It may ask you to unmute. You may have to accept that unmuting. And we're going to say this song together with me saying the italic words. Lynn will say the words in blue. And at the end of each verse, there's one line which is in bold. If you could join in with that line, that would be great. You will be speaking over each other. Don't worry about that. We'll just carry on regardless. When the last person finishes, we'll go on to the next bit. Let's see how we get on. As we gather, Father, seal us.
In the love that knows no fear.
Draw us, heal us. Reconcile us.
May there be a place of refuge here.
No more outcasts, no more strangers.
All dividing walls are down.
Here is love that redefines us.
Dignifies the least and lowest one.
Source of joy, belonging, friendship.
Form your family likeness here.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
God is near.
We share one living bread.
One Father's love.
One Saviour's grace.
One Spirit's breath. One Holy. The Apostle Paul tells us of the institution of the Lord's Supper. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So we're going to sing again. It's a wonderful old hymn. Please do join in by singing along. As Paul said in our reading, the second part of what he told us to do was sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. If you feel you want to close your eyes and listen to the first couple of verses, then feel free to do that. But please do join us for the last couple of verses. To the one whose great praise we all our days would gladly sing.
I think Andy's just struggling with technical issues here. We've done pretty well so far, so we're quite pleased, but perhaps if we can unmute Andy, Graham, you might be able to tell us what's going on.
What's happened is, hang on, let's get rid of the echo. What's happened is my Zoom on my PC has crashed, so I can't share my screen anymore. So what I will try and do is I will, if you want to carry on, I'll go out and come back in again.
I suggest what we do then is go into communion. We'll have the hymn after communion. Is that okay then? Lynn's giving me the thumbs up. Okay. So as we proceed over the song, we're going to come to Thanksgiving. Paul, in his letter, wrote, "Always give thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." So we're going to give the opportunity to do that now. So we're going to unmute you all, and it's an opportunity for you to give thanks, either for bread and wine, or more generally for the things that God's been doing in your life at the moment. So take this opportunity to give thanks, either quietly in your hearts or more loudly so that we can hear you and give thanks with you. Let's give some time to Thanksgiving.
That looks like a little picture.
So, Father, we give thanks for bread and wine, for the body of Jesus that was broken for us, for his blood shed for us. We thank you that through reconciliation, we can now please you. Lord, more than that, that you are pleased. Well, we continue. Andy, are you back with us?
I'm afraid I'm not, no, because I was recording the meeting. It's taking forever to convert it to video.
Okay. So, well, then we'll carry on. As we move into sharing bread and wine together, can I ask you to get your bread and your wine or its substitute available? So in the next session, we really needed Andy to share this on the screen, but probably those of you that have been with us before will know roughly what we need to do. This is my body, which is for you, in remembrance of me. And the response to the body of Jesus was broken for me is the body of Jesus was broken for me. And then at the end, we will say together, in the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant sealed by my blood. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me. If you don't remember those words, don't worry about it. I shall read them. You can say it in your hearts. So I'd like you to take your bread. If you have bread available to you, would you take that now? And Andy, just for your sake, I'd say just forget about the Zoom for a minute and just focus on the Lord and breaking bread with us. So if you've got bread there, if you would hold it up so that we can see together, we do this act in unity with one another. We take this bread, we break the bread with the words of Jesus. Together we say, this is my body.
My body, which is for you.
Do this in remembrance
of me.
So the body of Jesus was broken for me.
The body of Jesus was broken for me.
bread. And now we lift up the cup. So the words that we'll say are, in the same way he took the cup after supper and said, "This cup is the new covenant sealed by my blood. Whenever you drink it, do this in memory of me." So together we say, in the same way,
he took the cup after supper and said, this cup is the new covenant sealed by my blood. Whenever you drink it, do this in memory of me.
The blood of Jesus was shed for me.
The blood of Jesus was shed for me.
But here in front of the table of the Lord, it's a good time to just share our requests for prayer and then to pray for each other. So can I ask if there are any things that particularly need prayer this morning, people that we should particularly be praying for? Obviously pray for Gina, just back from hospital. I know James and Karen are away on holiday, so we continue to pray for Janet. Any others particularly need our prayers? Somebody say something so I know you're there.
Maureen, who's lost her niece, Vandana.
Yeah, thank you. Maureen and Raj, yeah. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Anyone else you particularly need to pray for? I see Jackie's joined us. So welcome, Jackie. We'll be praying for you.
Yeah,
do pray for the people on our Alpha course. Two of them are quite unwell, so we should pray for them. I won't go into the details, but just pray for them as we're going through the Alpha course. It's good for them to be in better health to engage with it. Okay, let's pray together. So, Lord Jesus, we want to thank and praise you for all that you're doing in our lives at the moment. We just pray that you'd enable each of us to pray as you direct us at this time. Amen. So do feel free to pray as the Lord leads you. Don't forget to unmute yourself if you want us to join in and say amen.
Lord Jesus, you tell us in your word that your hand will protect and preserve. And Lord, we just ask that at this time you will be with Raj and be with Maureen and all of their family as they grieve over the loss of their niece. And we ask, Lord, that you will comfort and strengthen them and that they'll know that your presence, especially closely with them at the moment. Amen.
Well, we pray for Janet in a very new place for her. And Lord, I just pray that she would be very aware of you with her, the friend that sticks closer than a brother. And she would know your arms surrounding her at this time, Lord. And we pray that you would give her peace and joy in you, even in these difficult times in her life. And we pray for James and Karen. We pray you'd give them a good weekend away. And again, that you would give them peace at this time. Amen.
And that you are the God who heals. And we ask, Lord, that as she rests at her house closely in your presence, that you will continue to heal Gina and stay close by her. Thank you, Lord, for all that she is in you and all that she is to all of us here. Amen.
So, Father, we thank you for all that Jesus is doing in our lives that we're unaware of. And as we have held before you those that we love and care about, we pray, Lord, that you'd help us to respond in those ways that you want us to. We particularly want to lift to you those that are doing the Alpha Course at the moment and pray for your healing on them. We pray that your word, and in all these ways, Lord, that you would build your church and glorify your name. Amen.
Amen.
I see Andy's face has appeared, so that's always good news. I may need to give him authority to share things again, so let me do that. So, Lynn, can I ask whether you want to go back to the first song first? Should we do that first?
Yeah, if that's okay.
Okay.
So, can we try again?
So my song is Love Unknown.
Yeah, thank you.
So as we've voiced some of our individual struggles and some struggles of people that we know, some will have been out loud, some quietly in our hearts. I know some people won't want to have asked for prayer publicly online. We all know people, I'm sure, that are struggling in many different ways. So I suggest that we use the next song to just continue in an attitude of prayer for ourselves and for those that we know that maybe we haven't voiced publicly. So continue to lift them up and to lift our eyes to Jesus in this next song. So we'll go to keep the banner flying high now. Please, Andy.
Okay, I wasn't sure whether we were going to get the next song or not then. Okay. Shall we finish? I'm going to finish with a poem that we're going to use as a prayer. And then we'll have the last song, This Is Amazing Grace, at the end. So let's just listen to this poem as we pray together as we finish. Just want to say thank you to everybody who's been involved in the service. And for all the techie guys, I know it's not easy, and that's we've found that out this morning, even more so. So thanks to everybody. Andy does a great job getting all this together. So thanks to Andy, and sorry it's not worked out so quite so well. So let's finish with this poem. You might want to just close your eyes, bow your head as we pray together. Our times are in your hands, our days, our nights, the fleeting moments and long days, the times of waiting and the times we savour. Our times are in your hands, the times of this planet, of our own small worlds, as they turn and meander, as we rush and stumble, as we do our best to cling on. Our times are in your hands. Though we may be full of questions, weighed down with fears, muddled by reality, we wait, we look to you. Our times are in your hands. We need you so much. Lift our heads when the going is tough. Warm us with your presence. Smile on us, please. We throw our lot in with you today. We want your ways. We want your ways. And long for more than we have within ourselves. So, our times are in your hands. Our ways, our steps, our reactions and conversations. Our whole being, our existence, every moment is found in you. Where our times are always in your hands. Amen. Thank you for joining us this morning. We invite you to join us for a chat after the meeting. We will be opening the post-meeting chat at about 12 o'clock. So hope to see some of you there. God bless you all.